Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him up to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Thus ends the reading of God's word. So this is in vain. If you remember last week, I was talking about vulnerability. Lent is a time to be vulnerable. It's a time where we must open our hearts and minds up to preparing ourselves for Easter. A contemporary song, country song by the way, by Luke Combs has been weighing heavy on me for some months. The lyrics are especially powerful and more often than not leads me to tears. Interestingly enough, those tears do not always flow naturally, for sometimes they hit me so hard that it makes me have to regain my composure. If the song hits the radio while I'm driving and the kids or Laura are with me, I'm usually struck by the recognition that the song is on, but find myself immune to the emotional tug of the lyrics. Other portions of my brain are occupied with watching the road, maintaining a conversation, listening to the kids in the back. Others in the car may not realize the power behind such words and how they affect me because it just becomes background noise. However, when I am alone and there are no external distractions, the words dig deep into my chest and rip out every bit of emotional wherewithal I have. The first stanza has everything to do with a child begging his dad not to leave him alone in bed at night. The boy is worried about monsters right outside. He says, "Daddy, please don't go, because the second that you leave, they're going to know." The stanza continues with dad making a promise that he will always be by his side, even when he is not physically present. This verse hits a nerve because it reminds me of days gone by with my son. Not to embarrass him, the act had more to do with the fact that his mother and I were first-time parents than an honest fear on his part. But over the many years of tucking him in, we heard many mentions of what's under the bed or in the closet. In the midst of these conversations, we came up with a saying that seemed to make the worries fade. All ghosts, goblins, ghouls, monsters, aliens, and boogeymen are not allowed in Tate's room after dark. Please exit the premises at this time. Thank you for visiting, and have a great night. These words were spoken for many years. As time passed, it had little to do with a real fear and more to do with a routine and emotional connection that I shared with my son. Going back to the song, The final stanza strikes yet another emotionally charged nerve. This young boy is all grown up now and is sitting with his same father, the one that reassured him many years ago that he would always be with him. The father is on the deathbed. The adult child says, "Daddy, I'm afraid. Won't you stay a little while? I never thought I'd see the day I had to say goodbye. Daddy, please don't go. I can't do this on my own." As one can assume, the chorus breaks the somber tone. The father, now on his deathbed, provides his son the same reassurances that happened before. The dad makes a promise that he will always be by his son's side, even when he's not physically present. This verse sends me into an emotional meltdown. It reminds me of 1 year ago. The memorial service was 1 year ago today. Sitting so many nights with my dad, the last one especially, the day before he died. That night, he would not go to sleep. He simply wanted to sit in silence. In the glow of a papier-mâché lamp Laura and I bought him in New York City the year before. At the moment, I was tired. 2 a.m. in silence, and a father not interested in doing anything but sitting. Dozing from time to time for a minute or two, and then changing locations. From the chair to the couch to the rocker, back to the recliner, back to the couch. I didn't know it was our last night together, or his last night with us. So I found myself somewhat groggy and quite possibly unsympathetic to his restlessness. There were no vocal mentions of always being there or everything will be okay. However, I find comfort in the fact that I was able to sit with him one last time. Looking back, I can honestly say the silence in that moment was jarring. But from this perspective, 1 year later was a reckoning of the soul. The recollection of those moments still hit me from time to time. And I hear the words of the song, and they take me back to those precious moments. And I can't help but let my emotions get the best of me. A similar response happens as I read today's scripture. When I allow this scripture to be read in the midst of chaos and the hubbub of everyday life, with other things happening, just like when the radio's on and the kids are in the back seat. These words are simply background noise. But when I can read them alone and sit with the words in quiet, it becomes a powerful testimony of what sitting still, being quiet, and contemplating in nature can do. The words seem to pop off the page and hit you again and again, just like the words to that song that bring back memories of days gone by with my son and the final night with my father. Jesus has just been baptized, and his first thing he does is remove himself from the world. He enters the wilderness and he finds silence. He walks into the wilderness and finds uncertainty. He walks into the wilderness and finds a moment of struggle. The same things I faced sitting with my dad, and potentially the same things my son faced as he was trying to go to sleep at night. Those who have studied scriptures, most especially the gospels, should recognize the practice of leaving chaos, social engagement, and preaching behind for a time of solitude. We see it here in the 40 days in the wilderness. We also see it another time when Jesus leaves his disciples to traverse the Sea of Galilee by themselves so that he can spend some time praying and meditating after he had learned of John the Baptist's death. We also see it again when he needs solitude and prayer in the garden immediately following his upper room feast with his disciples. Jesus made a practice of finding alone time to wrestle with the issues of the day. He was not alone. Being a student of other faiths, I find that quiet, silence, prayer, meditation, they're all common practices for almost every major tradition. Muslims are asked to pray every day 5 times. Buddhist practitioners, they meditate daily. Hindus practice multiple forms of yoga. The Taoist practitioners, they meditate, visualize, breathe deeply and slowly, regularly. Finding alone time, quiet time, time of solitude is a prerequisite of living a faithful life. For I believe one cannot be fully in tune with oneself and one's understanding of his or her own faith without moments of silence or quiet. If we do not infuse such moments into our life, we will always find a way to make the song or the scriptural words on a page background noise. Something that is always secondary, not important enough to tug on the honest emotions that come when it is just us and the words, us and the story. Nothing there to distract us. Nothing there to alter our focus. Nothing in between us and God. Our beloved pastor, Chris, in the moments of his shock and awe, was able to give me some information about what he learned over his retreat a couple of weeks ago. He gave me some information that he wanted me to share to you all. He mentioned that Dr. Don Sellers, professor of liturgy and homiletics, Candler School of Theology at Emory University, discussed that if we are silent for 30 seconds, the demons come out. In other words, busyness and engagement mask our struggles. But when we are quiet for a moment, those things surface. Jesus knew that he had to face these demons before he engaged in the journey of public ministry. All of this took place in our scripture today before he started that journey. His wandering in the wilderness in quiet, in silence, in solitude was meant to prepare him for something difficult. Jesus was in tune with the journey to the point he knew when he needed to charge his batteries and invigorate his mind and body for the long road ahead. In fact, if one looks closely to Scripture, one can see Jesus usually takes moments of meditation, of solitude, and silence when the path is becoming rocky or downright difficult. He understood the necessity of moving the demons from the background to the foreground. Jesus understood the fact that the struggle or demons must be confronted head on, and it could not happen if he allowed life to get in his way. American novelist James Baldwin once said, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed unless it is faced." The story of Jesus wandering in the wilderness, being tempted by the demon, shows us that Jesus was up for the challenge. He knew he could proceed no further until he took time to confront the challenges before him: fame, self-centeredness, greed, trickery, envy. Just as conversation and listening and engagement get in my way of feeling the real emotions of that song, life seems to get in the way of our butting heads with the hard realities of what it means to be authentic or a true faithful follower of Christ. We must follow Christ's lead and find time to be quiet, find time to be silent and still, so that we can finally come face to face with the harsh reality of our own demons. Those things we oftentimes overlook, and we encourage to sink them into the background to obscurity. My moments of silence allow me to face my demons of painful memories and the truth that time is ticking, pressing forward at an alarming rate. My son no longer requires my assurances of repudiating monsters before going to bed. And I will never share precious moments with my dad in the still, quiet moments illuminated by that papier-mâché star. I think in our silence and solitude, Jesus wants us to look into the deepest recesses of our soul so that we can face those demons within. What are those demons for you? I honestly do not know. But I can wager that they may be weakness, sin, infidelity, lies, rationalizations, constantly avoiding truth. Fear that ultimately we are alone, that we will end up alone, unloved, not worth loving. Maybe it's our own mortality. The fact that one day we will die, and that already our bodies are aging, our options are narrowing down, that the best dreams will never be realized. Maybe we're jealous, angry, bitter. Bitter that life has not been fair to us. That others have things that we don't have, and we never forgiven them nor made peace with our losses. Maybe it's our ambitions, need to succeed, our need to create some form of immortality, whatever it may be, before we die. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's addiction, mental health. The fact that we are not whole, that inside each one of us there are dark corners, dark demons that do not show up in our photographs. They don't show up on our resumes. The things our friends don't know about us. Sensuality, lust, laziness, pathological need for distraction, our incapacity to sit still. Maybe it's our godlessness. That black hole of fear, insecurity, chaos, and emptiness that we all have. When we can be silent and partake of this journey, enduring the hard part and being quiet and alone gets us to a point where we can confront our demons and deepen our faith and come authentic conclusions about who and whose we are. Or we can fully understand our reasons for being in a relationship with God and Christ. We need a relationship with God that affords us the opportunity to reveal all the secrets of our lives so as to let go of the tension and finally be ourselves. Ourselves without pretense or effort. We need God to be the essence and the person before no secrets will ever be hidden. To relate to God in this way is to have faith, sharing all of our secrets and fears in those lonely private hours when there are just the two of us and nobody else is around. Having a faith in God like this can only lead us down a road to wholeness and health. Lent is a time to face things head on. We may have a sense of weariness about all there is in the world that needs to be mended, but we must start understanding and knowing our authentic selves. The temptation we all have to cover up or mask our demons with everyday life and seek quick and easy fixes that only touch the shallow recesses of our mind, body, and soul. Nothing but empty calories that don't give us what we really need. What we need first is self-awareness. A sense of where we are, what we need, what broken places exist within us for which we need healing and restoration. Opening the door to those silent places to tackle the hard work of confronting demons, no matter what they may be. Painful memories, realizations, worry, guilt, anger, resentment, fear. Coming to terms with those and tackling them in silence brings us closer to moments of centeredness, interconnectedness, and wholeness. As we continue this journey through Lent together, don't forget to find those quiet and still places and tackle head on those demons that keep us from understanding and knowing our connectedness to the kingdom of God.